time for more of the Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why, on TalkZone.com.
We're talking about youth violence, and our guest is Mark Cookhouse, former principal of South Division High in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We'll also be joined now by three exceptional people who are part of the reason that the South Division High School has made such a dramatic transformation from chaos to calm. They are Andre Robinson, director of the Violence Free Zone program in Milwaukee, Amelia Stuckart, assistant director, and Jesse Garcia, a youth advisor of the Violence Free Zone worker at South Division. All three are part of the Latino Community Center program, a community-based organization in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So we're going to ask Andre to join with Mr. Cookhouse in taking us a little deeper into the program. We want to know what are the results and impact of the Violence Free Zone program. Maybe, Andre, you can take us a little deeper in how do you select the youth advisors or the staff? And tell us exactly how the program works.
Well, actually, the program works in all the schools in Milwaukee by having a group of individuals. We max out at like seven youth advisors, six youth advisors plus a site supervisor. And these youth advisors are charged with the responsibility of engaging the most disruptive students inside the school. And that often comes from, you know, the students who teachers don't want to deal with, or they may be afraid of in one way or another, or maybe chronic hall walkers, and they see it every day, and so the teachers or a safety desk, they don't engage them as they probably could. So who better to talk with these students than a group of individuals who used to do some of those same things? Or, and I won't say that is all that we limit, you know, ourselves to when we're looking for someone to build relationships with these students, because we also have youth advisors who are getting straight A's in school sometimes or honor roll students, you know. However, other experiences in their lives have, you know, qualified them to be that person that's going to engage those youth and show them different opportunities and help them realize their potential in school. But the way that I select the youth advisors is that I'm pretty much trying to get a background check from the community, and for lack of better words, we go throughout the community. We talk to people who are actually doing things. We watch people who are trying to volunteer. I mean, many of the youth advisors who work for our program have volunteered their time and their services in the schools, no pay, no stipend, any of that type of stuff. They came because they said they had a passion to work with youth. And we always test that passion immediately. When people come for job interviews, we make sure that we hold those interviews inside of a large high school. And the room that they're going to be interviewed in is not there as soon as you walk into the building. They have to walk through a sea of children or young people. And right away, we can see in a person if they have what it takes. I mean, if you walk all the way past 300-400 kids and you don't engage one, you don't say hello on your way or anything, I mean, that tells us that when you come in there and you say you have a passion to work with you, we got to question that passion, because we just saw you walk past all of your potential clients and you didn't have one thing to say to them.
Let me ask you one question. Mr. Cookhouse talked about Jesse Garcia and others having been maybe a former gang member, and some of them maybe have gone to prison. Tell me something about the screening of the youth advisors. What kind of screening and training do they go to in preparation for taking the responsibility as youth advisor?
Well, the first level of screening is, of course, the formal background check. We do have some employees who have some things on their records as far as old offenses when they were younger. We do have a list of rules, you know, as far as who can work inside of a school, so that that extra layer of security is for the district. The school district itself does an additional background check, and then they approve or disapprove those people that we send there.
So you have police and FBI background checks to screen out people who may have backgrounds that are not in the interest of serving children. Is that fair to say?
Yes, that is. The district does the background checks with the Justice Department. So things come back, and luckily they have they understand the philosophy and the concept of violence-free zone here, that sometimes you're going to need that person who was in that gang in order to turn around another kid, you know, who's in a gang now. And so we've been blessed to the point where the district understands that, and they work with us. In most cases, they probably would not approve everyone to work if it wasn't for this program, so they make some allowances based on the trust that they have with the violence-free zone management overall.
Let me ask you this. We hear a lot about in response to the youth violence around the country, large investments in mentors, and usually these are defined by people who are outside of the community, who then come into the community to provide mentoring to individual children. How is the youth advisor different than a conventional, quote, mentor?
The youth advisor is different because in most cases, the youth advisor has come from either the neighborhood that these children are coming from or a neighborhood similar. They have experience everything that goes on in that neighborhood as far as, you know, the gang activity, as far as the illegal sale of narcotics or drugs, and they watched it, they dealt with it, you know, they come from the same issues. They deal with the same issues that our children are dealing with. They have dealt with them. You know, so when it's their turn to go in front of these children and talk to them about how to maximize their potential, the children actually feel that, okay, this person does understand where I come from. They have experienced this, they have experienced that, and I can trust this person, or I can relate to this person because they've been where I've been.
So in other words, the youth advisors are almost witnesses to the kids, that just because you're from a violent environment, you don't have to be of it.
Exactly.
Is that a fair statement?
That is a very fair statement, and I think it goes one step further by these students being able to see the youth advisor in their current role as mentors inside the school. I mean, because the example never stops. I mean, they may have been initially drawn to the youth advisor because of what they saw and how they saw that youth advisor interact with other children, and they wanted that because a lot of times they don't have that same nurturance, you know, coming from anyone else, but they walk inside that school, and to see someone that is from the block, quote unquote, as the children say, from the block, talking with the other kids, you know, and letting them know that there are certain things that they can do to improve certain other situations. There are certain things they can do to reduce their conflicts. You know, they want to hear that from these youth advisors because they don't feel anyone else is either telling them the same things, or they don't feel anyone else is hearing what they have to say.
What about the availability of the youth advisors and access that the kids have to them on weekends or in the evenings? Or do they have the cell numbers? You normally associate conventional mentoring with being available to the children at times that the children may be in crisis. Tell me something about the difference in terms of availability of the youth advisors to the kids.
Well, that's a key component to the program, and to be honest with you, that's probably the only reason why it works. I mean, if a student is having some issues, to be able to call their youth mentor that they see every day out of school and say, hey, you know what, this is happening to me. You know, I need some assistance. And for that youth mentor to come through and provide whatever assistance that child needs, that just enhances that level of trust. It enhances the relationship. And it also lets the youth know that they are there for them. You know, and all students on a caseload, they do have youth advisors' cell phone numbers. They are available to be called at any time. I mean, this is a 24-hour 7 days a week job, you know, and the thing, the best thing about it is that they don't only call us when they have issues. They'll call us to let us know that something else is happening in the community that may come to the school. You know, so it helps us out. I mean, we receive phone calls from students that say, hey, this and that is on Facebook or MySpace. You should check it out because it's coming to your school. You know, so it's a two-way street. I mean, it works for us to assist them, and it also works for us to assist the school and the students in the school better.
Andre, give me an example of when a student is like calls or has an unusual request. Can you just give me an example of that?
Well, we've had students. Well, I personally, when I was a youth advisor, I had students who would call me that would get in trouble over the weekend, Friday night, at a party, house party, gang fight breaks out, and police arrest several students because they can't get in touch with parents. I've had two or three students contact me to tell me that they were in jail and could I come down? And of course, I'd go down and see what I could do to get them out or see what I could do to contact their parent, because that's the only reason they were taken to jail, because they couldn't reach the parents. So just by those types of things, that's part of that whole accessibility piece.
I'd like to talk with Amelia Stuckert now, and while she's coming to the phone, I want Mr. Cookshouse again to tell us a little bit about when you met Amelia as a student, and she will give you a little background, the listeners' background. But I know Mr. Cookshouse always his face lights up when he talks about Amelia and she to him. Because they had a very unique relationship, both in her other life and her new life. So I wonder if Amelia could give us some background on that relationship and herself.
Sure. Amelia, did I say something?
Absolutely.
Well, you know, Amelia, about a year or two ago, told this story at a dinner, kind of award ceremony we had for students who were, you know, being mentored by VFC. And Amelia, when you told that story, it was a story about how she had been at South and had gotten in some trouble, and I think there was some issues with some confrontation with other girls, and then I think Amelia was either having a baby or pregnant at the time and kind of in a sad situation in her life, and she ended up dropping out or somewhere or another getting dropped from South. I'm not sure if I had anything to do with that. But she told the story that how she called and kind of asked to come back, and I remember parts of it because I've been there so long and I work with so many kids, and I have a lot of students that I have monitors because I like to keep that contact with kids, you know. So when Amelia was telling this story about how she was at a low point, she wanted to get back, change her life, and how she called me, and then I was a little hesitant, but we ended up getting her back in, but I said, I'm going to make you my monitor so I can keep my eye on you. I'll tell you, Amelia, I had tears in my eyes when you told that story because I thought, boy, I did something right in my life, you know. A lot of times we forget that, but I thought, boy, that was a good thing. I'm glad I did that, made the right decision. And with you being here at South, I mean, it just shows that that was the right thing to do. And I'll tell you, you really made me feel good that day when you told that story. I thought, boy, I thank the Lord I did something right.
Introduce yourself to our listeners, Amelia.
My name is Amelia Stuckert, and I'm the Associate Director of the Violence Free Zone in Milwaukee with the Latino Community Center.
Tell us something about your background. And Mr. Cookshouse speaks warmly of your encounter, that you had some challenges as a young person. And you said something once that always stays with me, and you said that you were a troubled teen with many challenges, and that you were looking for that adult that could have a meaning in your life, and so you were determined when you came back as a youth advisor that you wanted to be the person that you were looking for. Would you tell your listeners a little bit about that?
Growing up, you know, I was pulled out of going to school in a small town in a suburb area of Michigan, and my parents made me move over here to Milwaukee, which was totally different from what I was used to in a suburb school. Coming to inner city Milwaukee and getting thrown into a high school was almost culture shock for me. So as a teenager, I was kind of resistant towards my parents and actually kind of rebelled a little and started doing things out of the normal for myself. just kind of trying to get that attention because I didn't feel like they were paying that attention to me. And during my negativity and doing some of the things that I shouldn't have, I was making bad choices, not attending school, dropping out. And when I was at school, I was causing problems and just taking my anger that I had on my parents, taking it out on other students and other people that I just wanted to, you know, lash out at. And in the midst of that, Mr. Cooksouth had to be on the other side of that, trying to get me to stay in school. And it wasn't something I wanted to do at that time. And I did end up dropping out. Thankfully, he didn't kick me out. But I dropped out and didn't think that school was for me and that it wasn't important. And amidst of dropping out, I ended up finding myself soon to be a teen mom and sitting back and looking at my life and seeing what I've done to my life and figuring out what do I have to offer this child that I'm about to bring into this world. I can't even encourage my child to go to school when I didn't even do that myself. So I ended up calling Mr. Cooksouth and asking him if he would give me a chance to come back to school. And he was very hesitant. He said, I don't want, you know, problems in my school. You know, I don't want you coming back, bringing that here. And I promised him that I wouldn't do that, that he wouldn't even know that I was there and that I was going to come and take care of my business. And he said, well, you know, I'm not sure. And I said, well, Mr. Cooksouth, I give you my word. I will make sure that I go in there, do what I need to, and I will not cause problems in your school. So with him opening up that door and letting me come in and trusting me after I gave him my word meant a lot to me. That was just something that this was an adult who, you know, I didn't feel any connection to or even someone in that school that I didn't feel connected to that gave me that opportunity and that chance to say, okay, well, I'm going to give her a chance to go back to school. And giving me that opportunity, I, you know, completed my high school diploma. I was short half a credit, and so they had morning credit recovery classes that I could take so that I didn't have to go to summer school and that I could deliver my baby and not have to come back to school. And with that opportunity, I felt so grateful to Mr. Cooksouth because if he wouldn't have let me come back, I don't know if I would have completed school in the time that I did. At the same time, when I look at VFD, there's always that one person in your life that you can always look back to say that that person did something for you or helped you out or was there for you and provided that mentorship towards you. And I always look at Mr. Cooksouth as that person, that one person that I couldn't find that wasn't there. He was that one person that did that for me. And so as I walked through the halls of South Division as a youth advisor, I felt like I wanted to be that person that I was looking for in school, someone that I could talk to, someone that I could share my problems, tell about what happened to me that day, or just someone I could say, I understand how angry you are. I know how you feel, you know, something that I was looking for. I didn't find that. And so now I feel like I need to be that in that school.
I want to know, Amelia, and then what was the response to the children? I know that you have intervened in fights. And can you give me some examples of what you, a young woman, were able to do, given your experience, to prevent kids or from engaging in the kind of behavior that you did that didn't serve your interests well? Can you give us an example of what you've done, for instance?
Well, there's been kids that want to get into fight, that are looking for that negative attention, that may pick a fight, that may, you know, skip class. You just go and talk to them. You see them in the hallways. You know that same student who's constantly walking in the hallway or the same student who's gossiping or starting problems with fights. And, you know, I would sit down and mediate the kids. I've had to get into physical situations and break up those fights. I've been able to mentor young women who thought bringing a baby into this world would make them feel loved. I've been able to, you know, go into the homes of some young girls or some young boys and talk to the parents and discuss maybe the other side of where the parents don't think that decisions that they make at home may affect the child and how it may affect their schooling and so forth. So I've been able to do things like that with some of these kids in the school.
Good. When we come back off the break, we're going to be joined by Jesse Garcia, and we have three exceptional people who are part of the reason the South Division has made a transformation from chaos to calm. They are Andre Robinson, Director of Violence Free Zone, Amelia Steckard, Assistant Director, and the Principal, Mr. Cooksouth. Stay with us.